Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals and institutions reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.
Good afternoon. I'm Adam Ragusea, Assistant News Director at WFIU, and it's time for Ask the Mayor. Terre Haute Mayor Kevin Burke was not able to be with us today. He has sent one of his top lieutenants. Terre Haute Communications Director Pete Cinconi is on the line with us. The phone number to call to speak with Mr. Cinconi, and I'm hoping that some of our Terre Haute listeners will take advantage of this opportunity to talk to an insider in the Burke administration. The toll-free number is 877-285-9348. I'll repeat that number in just a moment. If you prefer, you can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. And once again, the toll-free number is 877-285-9348. A local call in the Bloomington area is 855-0811. Pete, how you doing?
I'm fine. Yourself?
I'm doing terrific. I imagine I'm a little bit less tired than you guys.
Well, the mayor had planned a vacation, whatever the outcome of Tuesday's election, and has taken advantage of it himself, and should be back tomorrow well-rested and ready to go.
All right. I should remind just our non-Terre Haute listeners exactly the context of the conversation here. On Municipal Election Day, based upon the preliminary election results, Mayor Burke lost to challenger Duke Bennett by a less than 1 percentage point margin, and there is a recount petition pending, but we're likely to not see any action on that in a couple of weeks. And, of course, traditionally, Pete, this show has been about governance and, you know, rather than electoral politics, the extent to which the two can be separated. But I guess the two are going to intermingle a little bit in our conversations here today. So, again, it would be terrific if we got a Terre Haute listener joining the conversation at 877-285-9348. A lot of you called in over the course of Fund Drive, so I know you're there. And we hope to get somebody in the line here in just a second. So, Pete, so what's on the immediate agenda for the mayor when he gets back on the job tomorrow?
Well, we're viewing the next few weeks as business as usual. We're keeping up the work that we've started, and we certainly have a lot of projects that are still underway or in process, and we certainly intend to keep those things moving forward because we believe the community has benefited a great deal from them.
Sure. So there are major infrastructure projects that are still underway. Assuming that there is a transition of administration, what happens to the hospital campus, to Margaret Avenue, to 13th Street?
Well, it's important to keep in mind that there are two types, if you will, of improvements. The hospital project, the first one you mentioned, is a private affair that is being funded and directed by Union Hospital. We certainly wish them all the best. They are doing that work, providing the community with a state-of-the-art facility for the next few decades, and there's already, I believe the engineers and technical people would call it a big giant hole up there on the north end, and the construction is underway, and we're very excited about the prospect of having that on our skyline in the next few years. Those kinds of projects, obviously, are the decision of individual and private investors and developers, and we hope that they continue to show the confidence that in the community that they've shown. The other kinds of projects are public-funded infrastructure projects like 4th Street, like the extension of 13th Street south, the extension of Brown Avenue north from Locust. All of those projects are in some state of construction as we speak. The work in Farrington's Grove, the work along Oakland Avenue, all of those projects are funded and directed by the city, and we have every intention of seeing them through.
And in your mind, at least the immediate process of undertaking those projects is not going to be affected by the outcome of the election? You're not going to get out there with a shovel yourself and try to finish it before January?
Well, obviously, construction is a complex endeavor. Something that requires that kind of engineering isn't something that I could take a shovel and do myself anyway. So They will continue to go forward, weather permitting, and we'll keep holding up our end of the bargain.
This is a good opportunity for us to, again, regardless of what eventually happens with this recount petition or whatever, to take a look at what you feel are the greatest accomplishments of Mayor Burke's term. What in your mind stands out?
Well, I like to think of it as a change in attitude. I've lived here with the exception of my time away at school and in the Navy. I've lived here for the majority of my life, which is now on the far side of 50. I look at it as a change in attitude. There was for many, many, many years a notion that Terre Haute can't do this, this isn't something that we've done, you know, we can't do it that way, none of this will ever happen. And what Kevin's brought to the table, I believe, is a willingness to try things that other folks have been unwilling to do in the past. And the taste of success that Terre Haute has had, I think, has brought a new attitude and a new energy to the community. We've had significant private investment around town. We talk a lot about what happened with Pfizer and with Exubra. But Kevin's point in discussing what happened with Exubra, I think, is the most important thing for Terre Haute to keep in mind. He said on several occasions that Terre Haute as a community should not forget that we were in competition with dozens of other sites around the world for this very important pharmaceutical company to place this product production. Pfizer picked Terre Haute. I mean, in a very real sense, we won a very important competition. You know, we had the site, we had the workforce, we had the infrastructure that made that choice obvious for Pfizer. It's not our fault that the product itself turned out to be something that they could not market as effectively as they'd hoped. It isn't Terre Haute's fault that Exubra didn't catch on the way they had hoped. What we need to recognize is that we did everything right. We were successful in that competition, and that means we have a lot to be proud of. So yeah, it's a depressing and sad thing to think about what may happen in the future with that facility. But the fact is, we proved just how competitive this place can be, and that's an attitude shift that we need to maintain.
Before we leave the topic of Pfizer and Exubra, to what extent is the city government involved in the ongoing talks with Pfizer officials about what the future for that facility could be, whether or not another product might go into production there?
Well, city officials operate economic development opportunity through our Economic Development Corporation. The Terre Haute EDC is funded as a public-private partnership between city government, county government, and the business partners that also choose to invest in it. So the city's involvement is directed in the very capable hands of our Economic Development Corporation, and I know they're working very hard to find whatever opportunity exists in that situation for the community.
Of course, a bond had just been sold through a TIF districting to sponsor some infrastructure improvements in the area in anticipation of growth of the facility. Are you up to speed on what happens there?
I am not. I'm sorry. I know that that is part of the discussion, but the extent to which it influences the decisions, I do not know.
I'd like to remind our listeners that we're speaking with City of Terre Haute Communications Director Peter Cinconi here on Ask the Mayor. The phone number to call to speak with Pete Cinconi is 877-285-9348. That's toll-free. Local call in the Bloomington area is 855-0811. You can send an email to mayor@indiana.edu, and we are checking that email throughout the show. So, Pete, let's just talk a little bit in retrospect over the course of over Mayor Burke's term. What would you say was the biggest heartbreak? Was it a national paper?
Well, you know, that's another one of those circumstances where the market, driven by forces outside Terre Haute, had an influence here in town. I tend to be a glass half full kind of person in things like that, and I realize that for the individuals who've been forced to find other employment, that's hard for them to do. Having gone through circumstances like that in my own life in the past, I know how what kind of upheaval that creates. But I try and think about the biggest heartbreak, and I'm not really sure I can put my thumb on it. Obviously, the results of Tuesday's election were a great disappointment to us, because we had very confidently felt that we'd made a case to continue our work. We still would like to see the result verified by a recount, and that's why we're pursuing that. But for the kinds of things that you point out in growth in industrial job loss, we've also had some gains, and I think we're very proud of those successes, and we're very interested in maintaining that kind of growth, so that the people who were unfortunate enough to lose their job at International Paper will have opportunities here in town. We don't want to lose them.
And of course, there's been more downtown development in Terre Haute than has been seen in a number of years.
That's true. A lot of construction work involved all over town. We had to hear throughout the campaign some questions about only bringing minimum wage jobs to Terre Haute. Well, I'm certain that the folks who are doing the construction on 13th and 4th, Brown Avenue, Edgewood Grove, the projects that we're undertaking with combined sewer overflow abatement, those aren't minimum wage jobs by any stretch of the imagination, and we had a lot of support from the unions that were involved in those construction projects.
I'd like to read you something from that came out from one of the other mayor's races in one of the principal cities in our listing area, and I'd like to have you react to it in relation to Terre Haute. This is something that came about over the course of the mayor's race in Kokomo, where incumbent mayor Matt McKillop had lost his primary in the spring, and there were two new candidates who were debating over the course of the campaign, and Mayor McKillop was writing an editorial column in the Kokomo Perspective reacting. And there's a paragraph in one of his editorials that I think is just fascinating, and I want to bring it up in each one of our mayor shows over the course of the remainder of the year. He's here talking about the Democratic mayoral candidate Greg Goodnight, who eventually won. And I'm just going to read you this, and we'll go from there. It says, Goodnight sounded more prepared than he did in the first debate. However, I was very disappointed to hear Goodnight say that mayors should not be mavericks. If indeed Kokomo is at a crossroads, as Goodnight says, then doing things the same way and waiting for consensus will never achieve better results. Towns around the Midwest that are growing are not doing so by avoiding risk and by electing caretaker mayors. These cities have progressed because of a results-driven agenda and a willingness to change the direction of their cities in spite of the political fallout. Would you characterize Mayor Burke as a maverick?
gosh. Well, if you look at the pattern of the individuals who'd held office over the past couple of decades, then yeah, I guess you would have to say he was. We had had mayors who grew up, if you will, in local politics, who'd held other offices prior to coming into the mayor's office, and as such, maybe had more political savvy, if you will, than Kevin. I know. Maverick. That's an interesting thought. I do know that he was not afraid to take chances, and he is not afraid to take chances. He recognizes, and I think he would probably sign his name to that paragraph that you just read from Mayor McKillop's letter, because he came in here with the understanding that Terre Haute had not just stagnated. I mean, this community had the dishonor of being called a model of stagnation by the Indianapolis Star in 2003. That is one of the things that helped drive them, Kevin, to run. The idea that the community really needed to be needed to move in a different direction. He's certainly unafraid to make those decisions, and was not perhaps as attuned to the old political structure as some other mayors have been in the past. Of course, that didn't do them any good either. So I suppose in the long run, you have to wonder whether that old politics, new politics, and local government really has any bearing at all. I think Kevin's approach to the needs of the community was very business oriented. What does the community need in order to grow? Specifically in terms of the issue with property tax, which I think rose up and bit a lot of mayors in this election cycle. It's I think very true that there are really only two ways for a local government, a city government, to reduce those property taxes. One is to cut services, and that is very, very difficult to do at the level we're at. I mean, we're not a pass-through agency for funding. We're limited in how much we can raise the levy. Most of our levy increase goes to the salaries of city employees, so cutting service is really very, very difficult. The other way to cut property taxes is to raise your net assessed value. Make everything worth more, get new construction and new value to the community that helps offset the cost amongst a larger base. That was precisely the avenue that that Mayor Burke was pursuing.
Watching the debates between Mayor Burke and Duke Bennett, it was interesting how Mr. Bennett reacted. He didn't seem entirely opposed to how the mayor had, over the course of the last couple of years, really bitten the bullet on a couple of really big projects that were a long time coming, or a lot of folks felt were a long time coming. It was more that he was opposed to the financing of those projects and to the way those projects were initiated. In retrospect, was there any validity to any of that?
Well, that becomes a matter of opinion, and frankly, I don't know if you saw the article in the Tribune Star that appeared just a day or so ago with Greg Gibson, who was very much involved in development downtown and out on 46. He's much more precise in his description of how the projects were undertaken. And I think, the idea that somehow the mayor was dropping $1 million into somebody else's pocket in order to get something done is utterly erroneous. And, I'm not really sure how else, in looking at the way some of these things transpired, you could have gotten it done. I mean, ultimately, the investors, the people who brought real money to the project, let's take as a specific example the Terre Haute House downtown and the new Hilton Garden Inn. There is $1 million of TIF money invested in site improvement for that project, but the vast majority of the work was accomplished by private funding from a variety of sources. So, how Mr. Bennett may have done it differently is certainly his prerogative to imagine. But I really don't think in hindsight it would have happened any other way. With specific to the Terre Haute House also, there is that very real community consideration that there was an attachment to that building that transcended its actual value to the community. It had been idle there since the early 70s, and I think in a real sense was emblematic of our inability to move forward. my wife and I moved back here. She had not lived in Terre Haute. She's from Southern California. We moved back here in 1993. That place had been closed 20 years when she got here. And she was, unlike some Terre Haute residents, ready to push it over herself if she could just get something else on the corner with the lights on. But I know that there are a lot of people in the community who did not feel that way, who felt that somehow it should be restored, however practical that possibility may or may not have been. So the idea that Mr. Bennett may have done that part differently, I mean, maybe he's got a point. I don't know what the extent of that may have had, the influence that may have had last Tuesday.
Well, I want to remind our listeners that we're speaking with Terre Haute, City of Terre Haute Communications Director Peter Cinconi, and we got a caller on the line. Todd, are you there?
Hello.
Todd, you're on the line with Mr. Cinconi.
Hi, Pete.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I thought that I'd just put this out there. Do you think that maybe Terre Haute voters were reacting last Tuesday in shock to all of the activity that they've seen happening in the streets for the last construction activity for the last couple of years? And can you relate that to the availability of new money, of edit money? I'll get off the phone and let you answer that.
Before you go, let me make sure I understand what you mean. When you say shock, you mean as in an adverse reaction?
Well, I think just surprise. Over the years, we're used to a certain pace, and then under the last couple of years, as the new money, edit money, became available, we've seen that pace go faster. We've seen more stuff happen. And then, of course, there's the political spin in the election season, the idea that that canny people who were trying to unseat the mayor were able to spin that shock and activity into, different things. I mean, I think that they mischaracterized it as irresponsible spending. I think, though, that money stream is going to be there for whoever's mayor, and that we're likely to see that kind of activity in the future. But I'm interested in your response to that. Thanks.
Thanks, Todd. Pete?
It's very true that this administration has enjoyed assets that other mayors have not had. I'd also point out that when the county council approved Cadgett and Edit back in the spring of 2003, it was a near-run thing, and there was a tremendous amount of outcry at the time against it. And one of the council members who did come up for election immediately thereafter lost, but I would also point out that two others who voted for it, who came up for election 2 years later, won without even an opponent. I think any time, my son is reviewing a unit right now in his middle school classes about the American Revolution, and the textbook makes fairly clear that the concept of taxation was a big part of the American colonies' rebellion. I think ultimately people don't mind paying taxes as long as they see a result. And I do think that there is some shock associated with suddenly having all of the work done that hadn't been. I mean, we were very limited in the number and the scope of projects that the city had undertaken over the past 50 years. Mayor Burke has come in and gotten an enormous amount of work done in the past 3.5 years. It's really staggering when you start looking around at the amount, particularly roads and streets, that were just in deplorable shape that you can see. And in our wastewater treatment plant, which you can't see, and in the wastewater collection system, which you can't see, we have benefited from that. And I guess I'd point out, Todd, is in addition to that Cadgett and Edit money that became available for the first time in 2003, in the second half of 2003, the city council also approved the first rate increase for the wastewater utility in, gosh, I think at the time it was 13 years, in 2004. And that money, that income has allowed the wastewater utility to make significant improvements as well. So, yeah, and I think a lot of mayors around the state of Indiana were adversely affected by the property tax issue that is a statewide issue. Many homeowners in Terre Haute saw an increase in their property tax bill that they had perhaps equated to the construction work that they saw around town. We pointed out that every community in the state is seeing the same thing, and it was a direct result of General Assembly action. Most property tax levies in the state of Indiana are something of a zero-sum game. You know, you've got your net assessed value, you've got your levy, and if you jimmy around with a net assessed value, which is basically what the General Assembly did, reducing some of the burden on commercial and business interests, then you are going to pay for it on somebody else's end. In this case, it happened to be homeowners. That may have had an adverse reaction spun appropriately, as was done. So whatever the outcome of the election, I can tell you that we're all very proud of the amount and the quality of the work that we've accomplished, and we recognize we had opportunities that other mayors didn't have, but we're also very proud of putting it to very good use while we had it.
Pete, while we've got you on the line, we just have a couple more minutes of your time over the course of the show here today. While we're talking retrospectively, I do want to ask you, because you were all over the papers and the radio as the administration point person in a lot of ways during the most contentious days of the situation with the Height Center. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, looking over the past couple of years here, do you feel as though the administration and you in particular handled that as well as you possibly could have given the situation?
I think we found ourselves taking on a situation that had been left to itself for a number of years. Could we have handled it any better? Gee, that's probably the $24,000 question. I think the park board, which made the decisions in the course of that situation, did what it felt it needed to do. I remind people that the building is a community asset. The community had invested about $30,000 of its own tax revenue per year into support of programming in that community asset. And the entire situation developed over the city's need to provide appropriate information to the State Board of Accounts. When the park board found itself unable to get what it needed in order to close out its books, then it raised the issue, and you were able to follow some of the counter accusations in the newspapers. In retrospect, no, I don't know that we could have done very much different. I know that it was one of the things that created a great deal of bad blood, but I point out to people as well that there was bad blood created for years with other community centers who have been working very hard without any kind of community support.
Pete, we're going to have to leave it there. I apologize.
Oh, it's quite all right.
Thank you so much for joining us. This has been Ask the Mayor with City of Terre Haute Communications Director Peter Cinconi. I'm Adam Ragusa. Join us again next week. That's the 21st. Bloomington Mayor Mark Cruzan will be our guest. For producer Colin Bishop and engineer Mike Paskash, thanks so much for listening.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.